Caution after the craziness.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Good to have you along this Monday morning as we continue our coverage of the fallout of the financial crisis. One thing is for sure, investors are more than happy to put October behind them. Market volatility was so intense last month, there were just 3 days we didn't see the Dow rise or fall in triple digits. The Dow was down 14% for the month. But this first trading day of November happens to land on the day before the big presidential election, so no surprise there's a little caution on Wall Street this morning. Stocks started on a mixed note, but now the Dow is up 81 points, about 0.8% to 9406. The NASDAQ is up 0.9%. The S&P 500 up nearly 0.6%. Shares in Europe are mixed. Markets in Asia were mostly higher today. Along with the election, another piece of the caution we're seeing comes from a new survey of economists out today. It suggests we're already in recession. Marketplace's Elisa Roth has the latest from New York.
About a third of people responding to the survey said demand for their goods and services increased between late summer and early fall. But here's the catch. 35% say demand fell. The last time the survey turned out this way was 2001, when the economy went into a recession. The group that puts out the survey, the National Association of Business Economists, says this indicator's been predicting recessions for more than 25 years. The quarterly survey talks to around 100 business economists. Roger Kubarich is chief U.S. economist at UniCredit Global Markets. He says NABE's survey results look a lot like other surveys we've seen recently.
It's not a unique picture. It's basically confirming a picture that we've been quite aware of for some time.
Besides, he says, it's hard to judge the significance of these numbers because there are so many unknowables. Numbers on factory orders are out tomorrow. Oh, and there's an election. And then on Friday, the Labor Department releases the big monthly employment report. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Until now, wagering in exotic investments known as credit default swaps has gone on mostly unregulated. This week, the private operator of a central registry for that type of trading is set to start publishing some new information. Our senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports.
The value of all the credit default swaps in circulation is around $40 trillion. Or maybe $50 trillion. Nobody knows for sure, which is why there's growing pressure to shine a light into this very dark room. The initial data might not amount to much more than a candle, but Christopher Whalen of Institutional Risk Analytics believes even a glimpse of the monster should shock regulators into action.
Of course it's helpful to have more transparency, but people definitely are not going to like what they see.
Whalen says banks are still hoarding their cash because they're worried they can't cover all their bad bets. Henry Hugh is a securities law professor at the University of Texas. He says those massive wagers need to be exposed.
It gives you both a heads up on where the trouble might be, and also, if trouble happens anyway, you have a better sense how you should intervene or whether you should intervene.
Put another way, he says it helps in deciding who really needs to be bailed out and who might not be too big to fail after all. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. And by Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community.
So the biggest question for markets this week, how will stocks respond to the election?
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
As we head into the last day of campaigning, lawmakers in Washington are tossing around ideas for that second government stimulus package. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is here. And Alan, I want to know what your take is so far on this stimulus part two discussion.
I suspect, Renita, that the stimulus package is not so much about stimulating the economy, but stimulating votes tomorrow, because the incumbents want to show that not only rich people and big corporations can get, say, $1 trillion from the government, but regular people can get their own hundreds of billions of dollars. So why not, as long as we're throwing these unimaginable amounts of money around, why not throw some of it to regular people, which might help a few people keep their seats?
You had state leaders, trade groups, economists all descending on the House last week to sort of talk about what should be next, looking at a lot of ideas that are going out right now, including guarantees for municipal debt.
But that has nothing. The only thing that stimulates is bond owners. This has nothing to do with stimulating the economy. If you want to say, let's ensure this, let's do that, let's do public works, fine, let it rise or fall on its own merits. But to call it stimulus is the kind of thing that ought to get the Federal Trade Commission, if it's still alive, after you for false labeling.
Well, in fact, as I understand it, the first stimulus bill had initially included some money for infrastructure spending and those kinds of things, but ended up being taken out because the fear was, you know what, putting this into construction projects would take too long to create any sort of economic benefits. You know, people wouldn't feel like something's happening.
Right. There was also, forgive me, a political component to that, as I remember, where the Republicans were against it because, you know, ideologically. And I'm sure the Republicans would still ideologically be against public works. I might even be ideologically against public works. But public works worked really well as a long-term thing in the Depression. I think it's clear that they worked, that it worked well. This isn't the Depression. And we're talking about giving the economy a shot in the arm, and public works won't do it.
Where's your head right now with all this talk of psychology?
My head is doing where it always is, Renita. I'm just trying to survive and take care of myself and my family.
I hear that. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan, happy voting to you.
And to you as well, Renita.
Quick final note for you. Circuit City just announced it's closing 20% of its U.S. stores. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.